Moss Hart's autobiography, Act One, about his journey to become a playwright, was a bestseller when it was published in 1959, and it's been beloved by most everyone who has any interest in the theater ever since. Now, fittingly enough, it's been transformed into a play, written and directed by James Lapine. Among the 22 actors who play multiple roles are Tony Shalhoub and Santino Fontana, who both star as Moss Hart at various stages in his life, although Tony has a few other parts as well, including Moss Hart's father and Georges Kaufman. I'm very pleased that we have this opportunity to talk with both of these talented actors once again. Welcome back to our show.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Had you read Act One before you were cast in the production?
Tony.
Yes. Well, I had done a couple of workshops, three workshops of this piece, actually.
So, no, but you hadn't read the book.
Well, before I did the first workshop, I did read the book. It's funny because it was a book that was always around my house. I think it was one of my mother's favorite books, and seemed to always be floating around. And I'm sure, though, had I read it when I was younger, I would not have understood or appreciated it as I do now.
I read it in college, although I don't think I read it very closely. And I did read it, and I definitely got What I remember from it in college was the overarching kind of hope of the piece and determination. That's what I remembered the most.
Well, a lot of people who had nothing to do with theater must have loved it because when it was published, it spent almost a year on the Times bestseller list. 5 months, it was number one.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's not just about theater. I think it's really about anything, any profession or dream that people have when they're young and pursue doggedly and with determination and perseverance. It's about achieving goals and having failures and pushing through those failures to reach success.
Well, he sure did achieve a lot of goals. If you look over his career, it's kind of amazing that he did all of these things in one lifetime, one brief lifetime.
Right, mm-hmm. Because he passed away at age 57.
Mm-hmm. Not long after the book was published, a couple of years.
Really, yeah. Only a couple of years. And in those same – around the time the book was published, maybe a little bit before that, he also achieved enormous success as a theater director. He had directed the original My Fair Lady on Broadway and Camelot, and prior to that had done written screenplays, Gentleman's Agreement,
Born.
And
yeah.
he was multifaceted.
Also wrote with Georges Kaufman, The Man Who Came to Dinner and You Can't Take It With You.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, he was married to Kitty Carlisle Hart.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right. Yeah, and two kids.
None of that is covered in this play. This is all about his breakthrough.
Well, Act One is Act One. The book really is only the first 26 years of his life. It the book ends with opening night of Once in a Lifetime, the play that was his first big success and hit on Broadway. So we're doing the book, not mm-hmm. the life of Moss Hart.
Mm-hmm.
But
his first act, yeah.
He did have a rather – he grew up in rather abject circumstances.
Totally. I mean, yeah, he came from nothing. I mean, it's a real Cinderella story. I mean, it's totally rags to riches. And he also was a self-made – I mean, what I think Act Two would have told if he had written it, he really did create – if you look at the video that we have of him, we don't have that much. But there's the video that is has survived of him. You can't figure out how he came from what we know he came from. Which is basically, you know, poverty, and having boarders living in their home in the Bronx,
and a family that was largely not interested in the arts.
He not
had
at all.
One. He just had an aunt,
yeah.
Played marvelously by Andrea Martin,
mm-hmm.
Who's the only one who introduced him to yeah. this other world.
Yeah. Right. Well, these people were. Their poverty was so extreme that they were just struggling to feed themselves. I mean, going to, you know, having things like books or going to the theater, that was a luxury beyond anything they could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the play deals with that, but it also we talked about whether it be an act two.
Hmm.
One of the more amusing things, it actually gets a laugh, I think, in the play, is there's mention somewhere down the line about how a play has to have three acts. And, of course, Shakespeare now has been cut back to two acts in most cases. The theater has changed a lot. Unless you go to an opera, you're only going to see two acts these days.
That's right.
Including this play.
In those days, three acts was the norm. I think people felt like if they were going to plop down this much money, even though then I'm sure it was just a few dollars to see a play, that they were going to get, you know, there wasn't going to be a thin ticket. They were going to get their money's worth.
Yeah, no, times have definitely, I mean, times have changed in a lot of ways. And at the same time, nothing has changed. The business of theater is still incredibly difficult, and it requires a huge amount of persistence and drive. And you can be told no a million times, and if you don't keep going, you're gonna cave.
What I found so interesting in doing research on both of these characters, they had a lot of successes. Certainly, won the Pulitzer Prize and all of that, and made tons and tons of money. But they also had a lot of failures along the way. And that's, I think, ultimately what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was coming along at a time when there was an awful lot going up on Broadway in every season. And then came the Depression.
Yeah.
I guess 200 and something plays I read in 1 year. Now, a lot of those had to have been flops.
Of course, and probably bad. but a lot of I do think about that. I was talking to a friend of mine who works over at the Roundabout, and we were talking about how, when I remember when I read the book originally, there was the nostalgia of that, of wishing there were hundreds of plays every season. I wish that still happened. I mean, now we can't have that financially. Just the way that the system has worked out.
But also,
not when you can revive a British musical from about 30 years ago.
Or better yet, bring the Brits over to do it. That would be great.
Well, yeah, people, when you look back at these times when Kaufman and Hart were doing these plays, and there were so many Broadway theaters going, thriving, this was kind of, there weren't that many choices in terms of entertainment. I mean, there wasn't television. Mm-hmm. The radio was getting, just getting its footing. Theater was the thing, and people, there wasn't even large sporting events then. People forget there wasn't, the NBA and the NFL. I mean, baseball was there, of course, but as far as, leisure time activities and entertainment, theater was the thing.
My guests are Tony Shalhoub, who stars as Moss Hart, his father, and Georges Kaufman, Santino Fontana, who plays Moss Hart as a young man during much of the action of this new play by James Lapine called Act One. It's at the Vivian Beaumont Theater. That's at Lincoln Center. And if you want information about tickets, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. It was made into a movie starring George Hamilton, 1963, directed, interestingly, by Dorry Sherry, who's one of the characters in this play.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they were friends. They were childhood friends. And then he became head of MGM. And I think it's also maybe the only movie Dorry Sherry directed. I think that was it.
And maybe it's good. It wasn't a great film. But since it's all about the love of theater, it does seem natural to be made into a play. Did it change much during rehearsals? Because this is a really complicated production.
Yes.
It did. And it even changed a lot during previews. We had about 3.5 weeks of previews, and much like the play within the play that Hart and Kaufman are working on, we had changes, rewrites, deletions, reinsertions, cuts, and every other thing in between. Characters would go and come, but that's the nature.
There were more characters.
There were more
characters. Yes.
There were more scenes. There was a lot,
and you got rid of Act Three.
That was
our first preview was 3 hours and 11 minutes long.
Wow.
So,
but that's
came a long way.
Lapine was so great at. He, as the writer and director, he's the guy who adapted it from the book. The book is enormous. If you tried to do the whole book, it would end up being like Nicholas Nickleby, 6 hours or something. But this, his challenge was to do the beginning, middle, and end of the book, but to compress it and condense it in such a way that we get the story told, but it doesn't drag out.
Well, the set is quite complicated. How far were you into rehearsals before you were able to work with it?
Not until previews, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, which was, or maybe a couple days before previews started. We had tech, and we had a couple days before that. But that was a challenge. And also, when you're also still trying to figure out what the play is, you know, the set, we're not there yet. So if we're still figuring out what the story is, how to figure out where does the turntable turn and where do we move? I mean, that's a huge thing to balance. Not to mention that we're in a thrust space, which is not a proscenium, which is a completely different configuration in terms of the playing of it.
And I'd assume that it's physically demanding to always find yourself in the right spot.
Yeah, we were talking about this right earlier. My dresser, Lauren Galatelli, who's great, she put a pedometer on my pants one show. I run a mile and a half every show, and up and down three stories. And at the beginning, it was very hard to remember, where am I going? Where am I? What am I doing? You know,
yes,
it's
I,
a lot.
I
Tony changes
and you probably
constantly.
Run even more. You're playing Hart's father. Kind of a brutish, insensitive person to Moss's aspirations. And then you're playing the older Moss as he serves as a narrator who's looking back on his earlier life. And then a totally different character, Georges Kaufman. The quick costume changes must have been a major challenge.
They were very, very tricky. I have a great dresser, and also I had a couple of guys backstage, handlers, I called them. they would steer me in the right direction because once you get inside that turntable, you exit the stage and you're in the center of it. It's turning. You become very disoriented. They needed to move me. And I have probably 16 or 17 different places where I exit and enter from. And I didn't know. I really was having a hard time figuring out what was coming next. They were there to steer me and help.
Well,
me.
You get a costume and you say, oh, that's who I am right now. And they just push my hair up, so I must be Georges Kaufman.
That's right. That's right.
Did you watch videos of Kaufman?
I did. I was able to find some things on an old television show from the 50s that he did called This Is Show Business, where he was one of the panelists. This was, of course, he was older now than in these clips than I am playing him. But it was good to learn his body language and sort of get his general physical attitude.
Well, he has some odd mannerisms. You have to make him more than just his quirks.
Right, right. Well, he was OCD, you know, he had a difficulty.
You'd already had that experience with Monk.
Exactly. That was another challenge, trying to distinguish this character, differentiate this character from Monk, even though they had the same disorder. But Kaufman was a quirky character.
Santino, we get to see in your portrayal, especially how Moss developed confidence. Were you drawing upon your personal experience as a young actor who tried to establish himself?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like I've been through my own share of ups and downs, and I think what I had to remember, the biggest challenge was just to remember to repeal the knowledge that he has none of the knowledge. He has all the energy and no idea what to do with it. So, and that really, that signifies and also demonstrates and kind of shows us both youth and also kind of gives me a place to start. Because when I start, I'm roughly 17. We don't deal with the age that much, but we have to see him become, at the end of the play, when I'm telling Kaufman, here's what we're going to do. I'm not saying, I think we should do this. I'm saying, we're going to move the last scene to the top of the act. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I've been through enough, you know, I was in a show that closed after a week. I was in a show where I got injured and had to leave the show. I mean, I've been in enough instances where I feel like I was able to draw on all of that and kind of relive it.
Well, as at the time that he first collaborated with Kaufman, Moss was a relative neophyte, largely out of his depth.
Totally.
He was working with one of the most famous men in theater at the time, credited to some degree with changing the whole nature of American comedy.
Yeah. Well,
And then he winds up telling Kaufman, as you said, here's what we're going to do.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's also – there's a scene in the very beginning of the play, and this is also from the book, where – he goes in to get a job as an office boy, and the boss says, oh, it's $13 a week. And he had heard earlier that it's 15. And he says, I heard it was 15. I mean, a 17-year-old man comes from nothing to say that.
Desperate for a job.
Yeah, right. Desperate for a job, and he's bartering. You know, that says a lot about who this guy is.
And then, of course, all the things that he did. Mm-hmm. Tony, you were in Golden Boy last year.
Yes.
What do you get from theater that you don't get from television or a movie?
Well, there's of course, that the immediacy of it. That's exciting. And, you know, in television and film, you work long, long days, and you're you have to kind of parse your energy out over time. It's, you know, I might be on a set for 14 hours, but the actual time that you're acting is probably 90 minutes, maybe. Whereas in theater, it's more like getting shot out of a cannon. You're storing up all of this focus and energy for that 2.5 hours that you're on the stage, and you have to just kind of be completely 100% immersed.
Santino, in choosing your roles, have you resisted typecasting? I mean, you've been in Sunday in the Park with George, Billy Elliot, Brighton Beach Memoirs, Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any common thread between them other than that you're just a very versatile actor?
I'll go with that one. I'm happy to be that. No, I think I work pretty hardcore to not allow myself to be typecast. It's important to me that I have no one. I'm only interested in characters and stories, and I'm an actor because I like playing different people. So if
and
I
because
start
you decided
same,
not to become a baseball player.
Exactly. Exactly. I would have if I could have.
Congratulations for all the Tony nominations, Best Play, and Tony, you've been nominated for a Tony for Best Actor. Do you think you're nominated for one of the characters rather than the others?
I think I should have gotten 3 nominations. No, I'm not sure. I think it's. I think maybe the nomination is just for the feat of being able to do all 3 and not collapse.
And Santino, at least you get to play one person, Moss Hart. Tony Shalhoub, Moss Hart, his father, Georges Kaufman, at Act One at the Vivian Beaumont Theater in Lincoln Center. Visit our show page for more information. And thank you both so much for being on our show again.
Thank you
for having us.